to Binary Jazz. Visit us on the internet. Got it. Binaryjazz.us.
Now
we need to make that a subdomain.
Now we need to do that. You said it, and now it needs to exist.
It's all right. We can edit that out in post.
I think we should just make gotit.binaryjazz.us just a page that says got it.
Yeah, with a button, and when you click it, it just reloads the page. Reloads. But we should count how many times people click it.
Got you. Yeah, okay. This page has been gotten X times.
Yeah. Yep.
This page has been gotten.
But we should make it super complicated on the back end. So instead of hitting some REST endpoint, we should proxy it through a Google spreadsheet.
No.
And we should write to an S3 bucket.
No.
Yep.
Sounds like React is needed.
Fuck no.
I'm gonna open a project tonight. I'm gonna build a React app that keeps track of how many times people click got it.
Great.
Nope, not great. Got it.
Got it.
You click the great button.
The great button is a completely different button.
What if we like made it like Where's Waldo, and it was just like a whole screen full of buttons, but only one said got it?
It's like an accessibility nightmare.
One says submit and the rest say go. Oh yeah. Yeah.
While buttons is less than 1,000, display button.
Yeah.
No, it's got to be more complex than that. We need to know width and height, so we know how many.
Are they all going to be this?
Oh, this might be a very special episode of Binary Jazz. My new glasses were just delivered from Zenni Optical. Like, literally got the notification. I should disappear and get those so that I can try them on for you.
Do it.
Oh, very special.
Be right back.
Can tell how prepared we were for this episode.
I know. Thank you for totally rolling with my planned, not planned office extravaganza.
Yes. No worries.
My folks went out like on a little outing by themselves. So I was like, I'm actually here.
Exactly. Excellent. We are episode 101000000.
Oh, all right.
I just clicked over and I had to count the number of digits after the one.
It's a nice round.
Very round.
Binary.
Yeah. Yeah, the only place to go up is that one at the end. We're not, I don't know, what episode are we even at? What does it even mean? It's 155.
Are we really? I don't know. Yes,
155 of these things.
Episodes.
What is wrong with us?
We've done over 100 of them?
Yeah. I mean, we passed 100, 55 episodes ago.
Oh, this is going to be so much fun. For the first time in like a decade, I have prescription sunglasses.
Oh, so these aren't replacing your glasses?
Oh no, there's three pairs in here. So yes, some are replacing my glasses.
Wow.
I can't wait to put these ones on for you all.
I just want them to be like really outdated New Year's Eve glasses.
Yeah.
I don't know why, that's my first instinct. Oh,
these are the sunglasses.
These are the sunglasses. Yeah. Rocking the Ray-Ban.
They're polarized, and I can tell when looking at my screen. Can you see the reflection of you looking at me?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Ooh.
That's weird.
Those are nice. Next pair.
Also, for the listener at home, Gary is trying on different pairs of glasses for us. You might want to switch over to YouTube. When was the last time you got new glasses?
Years
ago. Okay.
Years ago. These ones are a wood look. Can you see that?
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh, they're a little too big though. Drat.
Are they?
I think so. What do you think?
Oh, I guess they're bigger than your other ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they have a silver thing just on one side?
No, it's both sides. Oh, okay. I think lighting is just the way it's reflecting. Yeah. Yeah. All right. One more pair.
One more.
They're so cheap. That's the thing. Like, you can get them from your optometrist and you get them at Zenni, and it's like, oh, look at this. They even threw in a free gift.
Zenni. Is that Z E N N I?
Yeah.
Yep.
X E N N I.
Yep. They threw in a laser pointer that doesn't work.
That's disappointing.
Says a lot about quality there. Yeah, this totally doesn't work. Cool. Well, we'll get back to that later.
Get a complete pair of prescription glasses starting at $6.95.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know that.
That's why I bought three pairs.
Yeah, that's fair.
It does depend on what your prescription is, though.
Yeah, so these are like closer to 20 a pair, but still. Oh, these are a little translucent. Oh.
There you go.
Oh, I like those ones.
You see that? Like, it's a little blue on the way through.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for going down that journey with me.
Do they feel different prescription-wise, or do they feel like this is my prescription?
No, each pair feels a little different because the pupillary distance is just a little different on every pair. And my eyes are bad, so I had to get, like, the, I don't know what it's called. But yeah, it's a little off, and I'll be dizzy this afternoon.
Yeah.
Great.
I always have to get the, like, my prescription's bad enough, I have to get the ones that are like the double paned glass essentially, and so they're like, oh, we can't fit those in those frames, and I'm like,
yeah, that's what it's like going to the optometrist. But if you put your prescription on Zenni, like, they'll be like, oh, you need to do this different kind of lens, and it'll be thinner, but also, like, you can definitely tell when you put them on. Mm-hmm. Do they do the thing?
Aaron did Warby Parker a couple years ago, and we got them sent, and then we just sent them all back because they fit too tight, and she's like, it would give her headaches. But anyway, they did that, and I think some other site that she did because she hasn't updated her glasses in forever, made her like take essentially like an eye test through the computer. Do they do that too?
I had an eye appointment not too long ago, and so I got these ones from the doctor's office, and they're fine. They're whatever. But I mean, like, there was nothing there was thrilling, and they're like overpriced and blah blah blah. But so I have a current prescription, so I you can upload that to Zenni and several other sites on the internet. And
because she gets, I think the reason why. We never did the glasses is because my insurance basically covered, you could either do contacts and they'll give you discount on contacts, or you could do glasses. And because, you know, U.S. healthcare system. So we were looking at alternatives, and they were like, yeah, it's going to be expensive anyway, so just screw it. And just got a ton of contacts, and that was fine. But she never got new glasses, and her glasses are still the same glasses that she probably got, like, I don't know, 10 years ago or something. So,
yeah. So
she has a contact prescription, but she does not have a glasses prescription.
Got it.
Yeah.
So I tried contacts years ago, and they just don't agree with me. And now, so
I tried using contacts years ago because that is one possible, I don't want to say treatment, but way of addressing keratoconus, which I've talked about on the show before. But they're special contacts because they're have to be hard contacts because they have to shape them in a different way. Yeah. Like they basically like they take the topography of your eyeball and then they
fancy.
Yeah it's cool. You get it, you can get a topography done, and it literally shows your eye as if it was like, you know, a mountain range. so it knows where the peaks are, and therefore it knows where the angles and things are. So then they build the contact bespoke to your eye to fill in where the gaps would be if you're wearing contacts, so that it's a more an actual fully round surface.
Sounds expensive.
Don't you, so for that to be seated correctly though, you have to know the orientation when you put it on, correct? Like there's a north and south?
In theory, yeah.
How do they enforce that?
I mean, I think that your eye kind of makes it. You blink a lot. You blink a lot is what I'm told. And then I was also told later after I went in for like a follow-up and was trying to use these things that I am apparently, what did they say? A slow blinker or like a half blinker or possibly both. Like I don't blink enough. And when I do blink, I don't blink all the way, apparently.
Don't you hate when like medical?
And you have like, now I'm like, like trying to half blink. I'm right. Like, what's that like?
Yeah.
Don't you hate when like medical feedback is something like completely inactionable? Yeah, and it's like a weird observation. Like, exactly. Oh, you have really dense nostril hair or whatever. Like, okay. Like, I mean, I guess you'd know
right.
more than I would because the only nostril hair I'm familiar with is mine. But this is like an uncomfortable observation. Like,
yeah.
Just keep that to yourself, right? You're doing nothing to help here.
I have something like that where I underwent this treatment for treatment resistant depression, essentially. And basically magnets instead of electricity, makes you have seizures and whatever. And so in my like outtake appointment, the doctor was just like, I just really wanted to let you know that like you had really great seizures, like just really like really like medically classic, like one, like, and I was just, he's just like, your brain was just like very, like, he was just like very thrilled with how it went. And I was like, that's great. But like, also I don't like anything that happens when you're unconscious, you're just like, just don't tell me about it.
Yeah. Also don't compliment me on my seizures, please. Like, yeah. Can we just like full stop? Like, that's just not a thing that I care about.
How about ask me if I'm feeling better? How about that? Right.
Yeah. That would probably be better. Yeah.
But some doctors just are like, I don't know, focused on the blinks or the.
Or yeah. The and then so after hearing that I was a slow blinker or a half blinker.
Yeah.
I tried really hard to solve the problem of the contacts just not feeling good by just making a conscious effort to blink like all the way. And like I still can't.
Then you're like developing a tic that you didn't even have.
Yeah, I mean, it's
this is what I'm saying though, this is not helpful. Like they told you that and now you have this like neuroses about it.
Yeah,
like what?
Yeah, so basically my contacts would dry out. They're really uncomfortable, and they dry out constantly because I just didn't blink enough or good enough, and and I had to try to reprogram my brain to intentionally do a thing that I don't think about. And
yeah, your blink quality has really struck me as being subpar.
Also, there was some way to measure the fact that we're all blinking more as a result in this episode, just because yeah. Every time someone says the word blink, I'm like.
If you're a person watching this episode that wants to train your artificial intelligence and see if we're blinking more than normal, please don't share your results with us. That would fall in the same category as observing someone's blink quality.
Yeah.
You jerk.
Sure.
Also, if you are listening to this episode, it might be perhaps a good one to watch. Who knows?
Yeah.
You would get both Gary's glasses showcase and the product of all of us talking about blinking so much.
That's true. I
happen to run, you know, downstairs out to the mailbox and back in the house, just like waved at my family and what? so I had to share my reason for
I have a
dashing
word.
Through the snow.
I have a topic. It might be a very short topic. I have
That's
a topic because
I think we only have like 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, I have a topic because there is a word I heard today that I was not immediately did not immediately know the definition of. So since we don't have a topic, I have a topic.
Just one? Show
just
off.
One. Just one. the word, the topic today is schlock.
That's the brand that you put on your front door?
A schlock?
Yeah.
No.
If you go to Home Depot or Lowe's and you purchase a new front door lock, that's the middle tier brand, you know?
Yeah.
It's not the store brand. It's like the next step up.
I know what you're talking about.
I know. Everybody does. Yep. They can all visualize the logo in their mind and it says schlock. And they're like, what is it really called?
But like, I've heard it used as like slang.
Uh-huh.
Trying to think of.
It's actually.
Is it a group of things? No.
I mean, kind of. I don't know. Are you guessing?
But not like a gang.
Are we guessing?
Oh, I don't know.
is that how the show works?
I don't know how the show works. I'm never on the other end. I think it's like a murder of crows or a gang of something. A schlock of locks.
Would it be a schlock of locks or a schlock of keys?
Oh, maybe a schlock of keys. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see the etymology. Because I did. Yeah, there we go. Okay. So you're saying it's just a group of things.
Yeah, well, particularly keys.
Particularly a group of keys.
Yeah. But not like on a piano.
No, yeah, like door keys.
Like the keys that it would open up your schlock.
Yeah.
Which is also a definition of how we are behaving, door keys. That was an intense series of words there.
Yes.
A bunch of dorkies. Yes, schlocks. They both sound like they're really negative.
Well, no, but like I've heard it like
context.
Like what a lot of schlock. I just don't know like what that means.
Yes. Yes. that was the context in which I heard it was like, you know, we're putting all of this schlock into this thing.
Yeah.
Or this is where all that schlock goes.
I mean, like, it's like garbage in the context that I heard it.
I think if you said like schlock, like, I think it would be like a bunch of.
It's
so
not
in,
stuff that you want.
Yeah. I would think if I were like on a team call, it would be like a bunch of support tickets related to a feature. Like, you got to do all this schlock first before you can build out the feature.
Oh, yeah.
Like, necessary junk.
Necessary junk. That's necessary. A really good category of things.
Yeah, necessary junk. Mm. Yeah, that's the schlock category, obviously.
Yeah. Boy, I hope next time we record, I get to come bursting in here with my new framed images.
Oh, I hope so too. Yeah.
That would be fun. Although that would take a little longer. Oh, hold on. I just got a message. My artwork is framed, and I would leave and come back like 20 minutes later.
Well,
it's a little
further
in the mailbox.
So just take us on the journey.
According to Merriam-Webster, since you did basically get it, according to Merriam-Webster, schlock is of low quality or value.
Oh.
But then the question I had was, schlock sounds Yiddish.
Yeah.
Is schlock Yiddish? And the answer is yes, it is from Yiddish schlagen, which means, it's from American Yiddish schlock, which comes from German schlock with an E at the end, which means dregs, scum, or dross, see slag. Alternative etymology from the Oxford English Dictionary says it's from the Yiddish schlagen, to strike. It has some examples of it being used in a sentence. Ever wonder how these washing machines, toasters, razors, clothes, and 101 other items show up on national TV shows? The answer is schlockmeisters.
Well, that's an additional.
That's a totally different word.
Yeah. But that's useful junk. No?
It is. It is.
But it's low quality.
Yeah, of low quality. Yeah.
So you could have a washing machine that's schlock, but you could have one that's not.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, so you're saying in my example related to the locks for your front door,
the crappy,
would actually
crappy
literally be
locks.
The bottom shelf stuff.
Yeah. Synonyms for schlock, according to Merriam-Webster, are bad, bargain basement, bum, cheap, cheapjack, cheesy, coarse, common, crappy, cut rate, El Cheapo,
El Cheapo,
execrable,
my schlocky glasses,
gim crack, inferior, junky, lousy, low grade, lower. I don't know.
Did you say gim crack?
Gim crack. Yep.
Well, I think if you continue on with synonyms, you're going to kill several potential episodes here.
It's true.
Many of those words.
Well, I mean, gim crack just means, it says a showy object of little user value.
Yeah.
And there's also a noun, gim crackery, which presumably is someplace where that makes gim crack.
We're engaging in the act of gim crack.
Did you know gimcrack is one of many peculiar sounding words that have pervaded our language? Oh, pervaded, because everybody's going around saying gimcrack all day. Well, to refer to something ornamental and of little value. Others include bobble, trinket, knick-knack, gee-gaw, kickshaw, and tchotchke. Well, but tchotchke means, tchotchke comes from Yiddish too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Bobble is the oldest among the group. The earliest available evidence of gee-gaw and kickshaw is from the 16th century, whereas gimcrack and knick-knack established themselves in the 17th century. Yeah, gim-crack. And then tchotchke is borrowed from Yiddish. So there you go. There's two words that mean shit. Garbage shit that you don't want.
200 gigabyte database.
That is a whole lot of schlock. A lot of gigas.
I just picture you both trying to integrate this into various meetings today.
Well, I can't wait for this link to be shared so that I can review some of these words and practice them before my next meeting.
I mean, yeah, all we need to do is to implement the gee-gaw. What would be best is not just bringing them into like meetings and like, you know, implementation discussions, but actually using these words for function names, like, you know, gee-gaw factory, or like class extends factory gee-gaw.
You're like, ugh.
I did ship an objectinator.
I mean, that makes sense.
Class. Yeah, it takes a lot of inputs and returns them as an object. So yeah, it is right. The objectinator.
Yeah.
I like to add the suffix inator from Phineas and Ferb. You know, Dr. Doofenshmirtz had lots of inators. So when I'm creating something, I don't know what to call it. I take the noun and add inator on the end, and that's it.
Sure. I mean, that makes perfect sense.
Yep.
Why would you do anything
else?
Yeah,
to me it does. Yeah. Yep.
Do you also add to your innator classes a what you doing method?
I should.
I should correct myself. It's a what you doing?
Yeah. I don't, but I think I should make
that D-O-O-O-O-O-I-N.
What I should do is there's the magic method in PHP that lets you like set the export with the var dump. And so I should map that as the static to
what you doing.
Yeah. Yep. So then when you for like introspection, you can just call the what you doing and you can understand the shape of the innator.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh my gosh, this is a class that doesn't do much, therefore it's a platypus.
Object in the platypus what class. You doing?
Platypus, he doesn't do much. Dang, I need to rewatch that series. You know, because I'm like 8. Or whatever.
I mean, it's the perfect. You can always rewatch shows like that and pretend that it is not for your own benefit by putting them on for your kids.
So here's one that maybe you all have seen, but probably not. The show called Bluey. If you've not watched Bluey, I highly recommend it. Australian show, extremely wholesome. It's too young for your kids, Chris, but you should just watch it anyway. There's a new season coming out, and I have not been this excited about a new season of many shows for adults or kids in a long time.
I asked my brother about it, and he said that they are already aware about Bluey.
I am suggesting that you both should watch it.
Yeah. The only thing that I think of when you say Bluey is Blue Meanies. in the Yellow Submarine movie, and making things go bluey, as there is a line there. Am I the only person? I feel like sometimes that I'm the only person who knows that movie.
Yeah,
quite well.
I think that's fair.
You definitely know it better than I do.
Yep. Yep.
Hands down.
Yeah. We have. We probably need to put it back together. Our Yellow Submarine Lego set.
Did you, nice. For moving purposes, did you disassemble the entire thing?
Aaron
took pack it up.
Aaron took care of it and put it back in the box. We have the boxes, so. I don't know if she took the entire thing apart. I don't think she would necessarily have needed to, but maybe
just components. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think in my head, that's a lot funnier. Like
what's the movie that you're the expert on out of the three games. Of us? Which one?
More games.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Would you like to play a game? the only way to win is not to play. It's like, yeah, that was a formative movie in my teens. It came out before I was a teenager, but that's when I saw it and was like, holy crap. Because it indirectly looks at like computer ethics, you know? It's fascinating.
Indirectly? It feels like it's less indirect.
Maybe it is. It's okay.
Pretty direct. There's also Back to the Future, which I feel like I know an obscene amount about, partially because, like, more the first two movies and less the third, but partially because, like, for a very, very long time, I used DeLorean Ipsum as my, you know, text generator of choice. And in the process of making, like, when you're using DeLorean Ipsum, you can't just use DeLorean Ipsum for test content. Like, if you need to have images in there, obviously you need to pick images from Back to the Future. And if you have people that you need to model out, obviously those need to be characters from Back to the Future. And in the process of finding all of that stuff, you frequently accidentally just run across random facts about Back to the Future, or like you go down a Back to the Future rabbit hole and like acquire random Back to the Future trivia or Easter eggs about Back to the Future or whatever. So like I feel like I've acquired a whole lot of like random shit about Back to the Future. I actually recently just exposed my kids to Back to the Future and Back to the Future 2. Yeah, we watched 2.
But we have not watched the third one.
I mean, well, Aaron hadn't seen it either, actually.
Wait, the first one?
Yeah. So it's actually exposing everyone to Back to the Future. The kids didn't stick around for my son Gavin basically like will watch things for as long as it takes to shove food into his mouth and then run off to go play on video games on the computer with his friends. So I don't know that it made that much of an impression to him. I think my daughter was perhaps slightly put off by the fact that there's a lot of like 80s sexism and shit just there.
Valid. Yeah.
Casual 80s movie sexism.
Yeah.
We watched Speed.
Speed.
Two nights ago. Yeah. We were up in the capital of the state and we were in this cute little Airbnb. But our, you know, like after the kids went to bed, our options were limited and we didn't bring any board games with us. I don't know who's from thinking. Like, well, we'll watch TV. And Speed was a movie that was available to watch. And we were like, all right.
How does that movie age?
It's like, it's such a 90s movie. I mean, it was like, oh, here's some like explosions and here's like the explosion, like I think it was like the beginning of like showing like an explosion scene, like from four different angles over and over and over. So the explosion lasts a long time. It was extremely dramatic, overly dramatic. It was funny. It's very funny. It's not supposed to be a comedy, but it was extremely funny.
I still like my favorite comedy that's not actually a comedy is the 90s possibly made for TV movie starring Dean Cain and Wesley Snipes movie called Future Sport is the best not comedy. Yeah. I when my dad was working for the warehouse, he would get all sorts of promo shit, and he'd pawn off a lot of stuff to me, and he pawned off a VHS cassette of Future Sport, and it was such a big hit that when I got rid of my entire VHS collection, I had to acquire it on DVD. Like, I paid money for this movie. It is excellent.
That's epic.
Yeah.
I
There are two best parts. One best.
Does Gary need to drop?
Oh. I'm okay right now. I realized though, I'm somewhat of a, I'm one of those customers. I'm like, oh, this stupid laser pointer doesn't work. And then I found the sticky thing that I peel off the side that says, to activate laser pointer, unscrew the bottom and remove the insulator.
Yeah.
So
there are two best parts of Future Sport. The one best part is Wesley Snipes has a really bad accent. A Jamaican accent, I think, is what he's trying to do.
I'm not going
to
point at you.
The other best part is that there's a popularity index where, like, cool. People are judged and they have points associated with them, and that's sort of like an individual's like personal brand stock. And there's at one point Dean Cain says something about his PI index. This is the other best part. His popularity index.
Well, and that movie didn't seem to miss very much, did it?
No. It's totally on par.
Bye.
And that's how we end the show at Binary Jazz. Gary just drops.
See you on the internet.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Special thanks to Serpiente Negra Ensemble for the use of their tracks for our intro and outro music. You can find them online at serpientenegra.bandcamp.com. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.